This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, airing on WANM FM 90.5 from 12:30 to 2 p.m. You know, it's your boy, Jay Scott, telling you what's hot, what's not. I'm here in the studio with some great guys. We got a great show for you today. We're recounting some SEC matchups with Auburn and Oklahoma, some Miami and UF, and previewing this week's matchups, including Alabama State and FAMU. I'm not alone in the studio. I got some great guys with me. Please introduce yourself, fellas.
Yeah, it's your boy, JB DeCane, bro. We back in the studio after a big Cleveland Browns win. Talk to me.
Did you vote for the Cleveland Browns?
Yes, in private.
Yo, it's Wes from the 904. Duval in the building, baby.
What's good? What's hood? It's the one and only Jeffrey Hood Jr. in the building, man. Niner gang 3-0.
Zan, y'all, it's your favorite country Nigerian, your boy Fees. What's good, y'all?
What's up, y'all? It's Flo Woods, finest Kaji Letter, repping the Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State.
Before you introduce yourself, I need to give a drum roll to our Adobe ambassador for today.
Yes,
from the live show, Mr.
What's going on, y'all? It's Nashville, Austin Cazins.
Why you sound so gloomy, bro? We happy to have you in the studio.
It's been a long...
Hey, man, Dirty South on this side of the booth.
For sure.
It's all good, fellas. Well, we're coming off of a good bye week, well-rested and well-recharged to come back to Bragg Memorial Stadium this Saturday as the Alabama State Golden Hornets take on the FAMU Rattlers. Now, this is our first game into the SWAC season. Obviously, we... You know, kind of had a rough start, but as, you know, JB and Q seem to think that it's no better time than now to turn it around. So is that a possibility for the Rattlers to get it done? And if so, what do they need to accomplish to take down the Hornets?
I'm on that train, man. I absolutely think this is the time to show out. You know, momentum is a big thing. We got our first win, and I think we can go into conference play and really establish ourselves. With that being said, Alabama State is a very good team, and it's not going to be like an easy game. This isn't going to be like a warm-up in the conference place where we're pretty much just getting thrown in there. They already beat Southern, so you know we already know where they stand in this division. What we need to do is what we always need to do. We need to be aggressive in the trenches, O-line and D-line, and then we need to get our athletes out in space. We function the best when our athletes are making plays.
I had the pleasure to join Coach Cozy in his Zoom meeting this morning on this lovely Monday. His biggest vocal point was Andrew Boddy.
Yeah.
Starting quarterback for Alabama State. His biggest vocal point was it all starts with him, and it does all start with him as he's leading Alabama State in rushing yards with 195 yards. It all starts with him in his legs. He's a dynamic playmaker. I think if they're able to contain him and say, if you beat us, it's because of everybody else, not Andrew Boddy.
Yeah, take him out of the game.
I think they have to run into a box and one, kind of just a basketball terminology, box and one him, keep him contained and let everybody else beat us.
Yep. Speaking to your point, Jeff, Andrew Boddy has more passing yards than our leading passer and more rushing yards than our leading rusher. So that's a dynamic athlete right there. He gets it done both through the air and on the ground. And I feel like stopping him is going to be a tall task to handle. I think he's probably the best player in the conference right now. I think that this will be the toughest game in our conference, and I'm not too confident in our ability to get it done.
Well, you know, they say the best defense is good offense, and I think that's going to be the focal point of a FAMU win if that were to happen. Alabama State, they are allowing 175 rushing yards per game, so if FAMU
but they are leading the SWAC in 36 points a night.
That's true.
They put
which is why
points.
I don't expect FAMU's defense to do anything special. All we need
42
is
42 against UAB.
Yeah.
Week one.
How are we gonna score with them?
No clue.
Just
country.
Try.
try.
I mean, their schedule's been kind of favorable in a standpoint because Southern isn't as good as we thought that they was. Southern has a good running game, but other than that, that's all Southern has. This will be a test for Alabama State to test where they are right now in the SWAC, and this will be a test for us to see where we at in the SWAC as well, because I think that game last week was a very disappointing game because we played a Division II school and we almost lost. We was down 10 at one point. So, yes, the bye week came at a perfect time for the coaches to address any issues that they had in-house and just to see what the quarterback situation is going like and what the defense can fix. But if we can't stop Andrew Boddy, I don't see us winning at all.
Yes. Also, on top of that, we only average 18 points per game and they only allow 22 points per game. So we're not even at the medium of what they allow for points per game. So that's another question mark on our offense. Can our offense come in and match their scoring? It's our scoring totality, because if we can't match them, could be lopsided real quick.
Well, I mean, if you look at the teams that they play, UAB is not really good. It's not really that good of a team.
They're still a D1 opponent. FBS. They're still FBS.
FBS, okay. You put 42. You got to respect that.
Respect it. Okay. And then you go against Southern. And then you go against Miles College.
Hold on, whoa. Miles College is a solid Division II team.
Division II.
And they took care of business. They only allowed 9 points.
My point in saying that is.
We played against an undefeated Division II school. Yeah. They played against a team that's just in Division II.
Well, Miles beats up on Albany State, actually. And so the fact that they put, you know, they took care of him is cause for concern. But for, I know we kind of touched on Andrew Boddy's stats, but 761 yards and 10 touchdowns, zero interceptions, a QBR of almost 88%. This is a guy that is going to light up the scoreboard on you. Now, my test for the offense is get out early. I think one of the biggest problems for FAMU is that they come out so flat.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's due to play calling or just lack of push on the front five, but it doesn't seem like they have any type of energy to get the game going. I mean, we saw the second half open up with a 71-yard score, and kind of after that, FAMU ran away with it outside of shooting themselves in the foot, which is another thing they got to get over is the penalties and self-inflicted wounds. But I think that FAMU has an opportunity to really cut loose because they don't have the expectation of, hey, yeah, this is now our conference to lose.
Yeah.
Even though that might be a mentality they need to implement going into later in the season, but they got to get one win under their belt. I think right now is a time for them to cut loose, have fun. You have going to be a sold-out crowd at Bragg Memorial Stadium on Parents Weekend, 3 o'clock game against our probably your biggest division rival outside of Jackson. Yeah,
Southern.
I would say Alabama State is more.
Yeah, not for sure. Montgomery right up the road. And speaking of your point, Jalen, it's going to be sold out, but I don't think it's going to be as lopsided towards the Rattlers as the game against Albany.
No,
State
absolutely
was.
Not.
It's Alabama going to be a lot of black and gold. Well. It's going to be a lot of black and gold.
Alabama
and
travels very well, and not only that, but the games the last two seasons haven't really been decided by a margin larger than maybe 10 points.
And you know, also travels their defense. That defense always is consistent, stays the same. You know what type of defense you're going to get in Alabama State.
So we talking about Miles College, right? I just had to bring it up. They're 0-4 in the season.
No. This season they've been pretty bad, but they're coming off of a season where they graduated a bunch of seniors.
I say this, though. I think we took for granted how tough FAMU's schedule is this year.
I told you guys from the beginning, I think they had one of the hardest schedules in the SWAC.
I didn't think Howard was as good as Howard was, and that was a big surprise to me because I've been watching Howard play lately, and they actually have been dominating.
Yeah, they just beat up on Hampton.
First time in X amount of years.
Shout out to Pops.
Yeah, and right now, besides the one thing that they got on their loss to Temple, but other than that, they're, 3-1 on the season?
Yeah, no, I think they're going to be very competitive.
And that's the best start for Howard in a long time. But we'll see what they do against Richmond and Scarlet Heart.
Well, we're going to wrap it up on the SWAC right now. The Rattlers have a chance to get a home win and start off their SWAC resume pretty sharp. Moving on to some other college football news, we saw a matchup between Auburn and Oklahoma. Now, John Mateer put up some decent numbers, kind of a fall off from his almost Heisman real performance just a week before. But fellas, what did you kind of get from the game?
Listen, what I got is that he's still my favorite for Heisman.
I agree.
I think he looks great. I think even in a tough matchup, in a tough game, a defensive game, he still looked good. He still won them the game. He still showed up in the big moments, and that's all you can ask for. And he still produced. He still threw for a lot of yards. I think he crossed 300, if I'm not mistaken.
He's at 271.
Yeah, so like he's looking great. And I, you know, the Oklahoma defense is also looking great, and I think that's why they cracked the top 10 this week.
Ten sacks, that's nice.
So like, I think Oklahoma's a great team, and I think John Mateer is a front runner for Heisman right now.
I would say that Oklahoma defensive line is what saved them from actually getting
10 sacks. You have 10 sacks total.
I get the 10 sacks. That was amazing, and they only rushed, and I think they only blitzed like
maybe
4 or 5
total. 4 or 5 total guys coming at the offensive line.
Did y'all see what Cam Coleman was doing to them corners?
Ridiculous.
If he had a smidge of time,
quarterback. No, just decent.
Okay. A competent quarterback. This we be talking about a whole.
That's a tiny bit too much hate on Jackson Arnold.
Nah, Jackson Arnold.
Just a tiny bit.
No, that's not very good. Jackson Arnold. He won. A lot of them sacks was his fault. We could say that too. I say out of the 10 of them, 6 of them was his fault.
Because he held the ball too long.
Dropping back 10 yards in the pocket.
He had a couple of bad ones, but he also made a couple of plays where he made a guy miss and threw a good ball. Like I'm not like sitting here advocating saying he's a great quarterback, but I'm not gonna say like that it was completely his fault. Like he kept his team into the game until the very end, and it was a competitive game the whole time.
Yeah, it was competitive.
No.
What do you mean? They scored in the fourth quarter to go up one score. It's a one score game the whole time.
His ball placement was so off. You had Cam Coleman making contested catches after catches. Like he had passes where he was wide open, it was underthrown. You had passes where he was wide open, and it was overthrown. And it was like it shows that he's not a competent quarterback as the Raiders made him see.
He's not even competent, you don't think? No, I don't think he played that
when you get
horrible.
Sacked 10 times, like you're under duress, like things started to be inaccurate because you don't trust your
line
anymore.
Are you under duress or are you holding the ball too long?
He wasn't that accurate.
There's a difference.
He definitely wasn't.
I mean, there is a difference, and of course, on some plays he did, but at some point, I think he was just trying to make a play. Obviously, earlier in the game, he held the ball too many times, like for too long. But
I would even say he was trying to make a play. I think his eyes were too quick. If his first read wasn't there, he was ready to take off, and like you can't have.
And that was his issue with Oklahoma last year.
Okay, I mean, like I see what you guys are saying, but like to say he's not a competent quarterback is a bit.
Okay, it's a stretch, but as far as like you seen what he did at Oklahoma, why he got benched?
Yeah,
like he's doing the same. He's having the same issues at Auburn already, but it's just against tough. It's just against tougher competition. Yeah. When he playing against like Joe Blow and them, he's gonna do good. But when he has to play against a good team, it's when his eyes get smaller. He can't see nothing, and it's like once his first read is gone, he's just gonna take off.
If you make him pass, that's the way to get to him.
Do you think it's more of a coaching adjustment for the play style that he has, or
I wouldn't even think it's kind of like a coaching adjustment. I think this has been a reoccurring thing since he's got to Auburn, because I remember throughout the offseason they were saying like Coach Freeze is trying to get Jackson Arnold's confidence up, doing certain things to get his confidence going, and it's like,
but Hugh Freeze was also saying he was going to play three quarterbacks at the beginning of the season, so
they need to go to they got the Deuce Knight
Deuce
Knight won't be a bad option.
I don't think Jackson Arnold, my bad to cut you off, but I don't think Jackson Arnold's played bad enough to be benched, but I feel like we're not seeing enough to where maybe.
But he's not good enough to keep his position. He's not good enough to keep his position.
Right. My thing about Hugh Freeze and Jackson Arnold's situation is the only reason why Jackson Arnold was ever even brought to Auburn was because Hugh Freeze saw that Jackson Arnold was capable of beating Alabama.
Right.
That's what Hugh Freeze needs to do at the end of the season, no matter what happens the rest of the SEC schedule. If Hugh Freeze can beat Bama, he got another year or two on his contract. And that's just the cold, hard truth. He saw Jackson Arnold beat Alabama with his feet last year, and he went out and said, yeah, we need to do that. We need to go ahead and win. So he picked up Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma, and I think that's his dying hope as to keep his job at Auburn. However, what is also blatantly obvious is that Jackson Arnold is not some type of win now type of quarterback.
He's not even that.
I mean, he's a little bit too old for that. I think he's just a filler guy until they think Deuce Knight is ready. I think that they'll probably just try to keep Arnold in there and try to keep him
in the mix. Keep his confidence, try to stay somewhat
competitive within the top 25 in the teens and try to stay around there while he's there. But they think that Deuce Knight's the guy that's gonna bring Auburn back to what they were with Cam Newton.
I guess that's the vision with Deuce Knight.
I think that the duo of Deuce Knight and Cam Coleman is something that assuming he stays, I think that that's the vision that Auburn fans have as what's going to bring them back to.
Yeah, and relevance. it's not, and at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world for Auburn. It's their first loss. They already have a good win at Baylor, and this is their first loss of the season. And Oklahoma looks very, very good. So I mean, their schedule coming up isn't favorable. They're going to College Station.
We'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to the schedule actually. But wrapping up this final game, I know that one of the biggest controversies in this game was actually referees. SEC says they missed a substitution penalty on the Oklahoma Sooners sideline with their win against Auburn. I know we don't like to leave the game in the hands of the referees, but do you think that played any influence on this victory?
Absolutely, because it was a touchdown.
And if that is the case and this ends up being a quality win for Oklahoma, does this help their chances postseason?
It's still going to help their chances postseason if they finish out like with a good record, even if they drop one or two games. But what I would say is yes, that was an unsportsmanlike penalty because he faked a substitution like he was going out of bounds and forced the refs to stop the game to substitute, and he just stood right there and he was wide open for a touchdown. Like that is quote unquote, if you look at the rule book, it's an unsportsmanlike penalty.
Not only that, but the missed fumble call, maybe I still think that was a fumble.
That was a fumble, but it was too close to call in real time. Yeah. So
hey, well, you don't leave the game in the hands of the referees, and you don't leave the hands in the game of Billy Napier. He came off of a huge loss to those Hurricanes, man.
Hey, dead man walking.
You think so?
All right, so they
just scheduled the Texas game for 3:30.
I don't know how he made the flight back.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know how he made. So it's like I see Florida. I see what they're doing. They're giving him the benefit of the doubt. You feel me? As far as like, okay, you got a tough stretch.
I don't know. A tough stretch doesn't negate 32 yards of total offense.
Timeout. Tough stretch doesn't negate DJ Lagway throwing for 61 passing yards in the whole entire game. Yeah. No.
I'm not gonna lie. Can we talk about it?
I told you. Listen, no. I wish Mike was here. I told you guys I don't think that Lagway was gonna be that guy. He wasn't.
I agreed with you when you said that.
Yeah. I say he was one of the
quarterbacks that I thought was gonna be really coming up and taking that leap forward, because it's like, if you saw what he
just
did
how he
last
ended,
year,
yeah. Yeah,
like he really saved Nate Pearson's job.
Absolutely.
But what I was hearing is there's a locker room discrepancy. The locker room is divided because Lagway gets special treatment.
Absolutely, and you can't say that he doesn't. I mean, if you look at the SEC documentary they had coming out,
it wasn't even about that.
I'm saying the NIL deal, it's not even about the NIL
because they all got NIL. It's not about the
SEC. It's about the relationship with Billy and DJ.
Yes.
Okay.
And the relationship with Billy and DJ, it's a father son relationship where, oh, DJ, you missed practice. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Hey, DJ, you was late to workouts. Don't worry about it. Hey, DJ, you don't got to practice today. Don't worry about it. Hey, DJ, you don't feel like practicing? Yeah, I'm good, coach. Don't worry about it. It's that type of relationship. DJ Lagway barely practices.
And yeah, we can tell by these stats. Because there's no way your defense has been balling for two straight weeks.
Yes.
And that offense is lackluster. It starts with the offensive line. The offensive line is terrible, too. Let's really talk about the offensive line. It's not the offensive line.
It's DJ Lagway and his protection calling. Because he's calling the wrong protection calls.
But I think two things can be true. Bad offensive line play and also bad protection calls, because the right tackle is terrible.
It's not like Miami sent 5-6 guys in the box.
They sent four straight up.
Three and four.
The only one you could say actually sent play was LSU. And that's why he threw 5 interceptions. But that right there should have been a telltale sign of like, bro, what is going on? Because it's like Florida's defense is really good.
They were in the game. They went 0-13 on third downs.
That's not winning football.
No.
And then you have an opportunity. You score a touchdown.
Right.
You down 7-13.
You get that pick.
You get the. Then you. It was a pick.
Yes.
Even worse. Shout out Kamani McClain. I'm just playing. You get the interception by Kamani McClain. Now you in a position to actually take the lead.
Yep.
You just dropped the ball. what are we doing here?
After that interception, you had a turnover on downs, a punt, a turnover on downs, a turnover on downs. Like, when you have opportunities to go out, and they were in the game the whole time. Like, mm-hmm. I was looking up at the score. I'm like, hold on. Florida could do the funniest thing right now.
They were getting dominated, but at the same time, he's right. They were in the game by the score.
They weren't in the game. But systematically, they were out-coached. They were out-disciplined. They lost in almost every stat across the board.
But did you win?
Exactly.
Yeah, because
we've seen plenty.
So they could have got 61 yards of total offense, and if they had beat Florida, if they had beat Miami 14-13, we would be having a totally different conversation.
Yep,
Billy Napier found a way to win. That would have been a conversation we would have had.
But you're not going to find a way to win if you go 7 out of 10 drives. It's turned into a punt.
Yeah,
correct.
For sure.
So for instance, they scored on 2 drives against LSU. The rest of them was five turnovers and 5 punts. Then you also had your defense only holding LSU to 13 points. So you was in the game the entire time in both games. You like I don't understand. It's like Billy Napier is supposed to be this offensive guru, quarterback coach, whatever he's supposed to be, but he's looking like a shell of himself right now.
Yeah.
Since he's been in Florida, his record against SEC opponents is 4-15. Against his rivals, he's only beaten the rival one time, and that was last year against Florida State.
Which is really like not even a real win if you think about it.
Because Florida State had a down year. Like, is he going to beat Florida State again this year? No.
Mm-mm.
Well, I don't even think he's going to make it that far.
I was about to. That's my next point. So they have Texas coming up.
He's out.
Sunday morning before noon kickoff.
Hey, you remember what they did to Herm Edwards? They fired him on the field.
Yeah. Hey, bro, don't even come back to the locker room.
What you mean? Texas A&M did it to what's it called? Jimbo Fisher. Like, they literally at halftime, they said thank you to the athletic department for this $77 million donation to the foundation of the athletics, and Dabo Fisher was fired at halftime.
By the way,
But let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Texas might be the only one they can win. Because the Texas offense hasn't looked good until...
No. He has a point, but...
Until just this weekend, their offense hadn't looked good at all. And what's Florida's strength? Their defense.
Yeah.
So if you take advantage of Arch Manning not playing to hit the best of his ability, could you see Florida winning the Texas game?
If Florida made these games close, but right now it seems like they lost the trust of not only the fans, but the locker room as well. They're not playing together as a team.
The locker room is divided.
Well, the defense is still playing hard.
My question is, though, for the long term, do you really want Florida? I mean, I know you want to go out and win every single game, but do you want Florida to win this game? Because is that going to give them false hope that Billy Napier is
going to win? There's no false hope. You just want to go out and win every football game you play type thing.
Because at the end of the day, you're still playing for a career. So it's like you don't want to just go out there. And the SEC is not the conference where you could just go out there and just like, you know what? I'll just be all right. Like, you're going to get steamrolled by 56 by Vanderbilt. Like, what happened to us, South Carolina?
Yeah. Well, we'll see what is the haps with Napier and the Gators next weekend. I know right now the Canes are kicking up, laying back, and just watching this Florida State game, watching some film. We'll be ready for a 7:30 primetime ABC matchup. Shifting gears, though, into this upcoming Saturday as well. LSU takes on Ole Miss in a very solid SEC matchup, I feel like. I think, like, these games this week are off the chain, which we'll get to coming up here in the episode. But right now, I just want to see kind of where you guys' head at, especially with Lane Kiffin possibly having some job vacancies across the board in the country right now. Do you think he's building his resume for an LSU playoff contention, or is this a personal agenda for Lane Kiffin to kind of keep it pushing and add to the resume?
Lane Kiffin to Alabama next year.
You think so? I've heard that.
That's very interesting. That could happen. That could definitely happen.
Because Alabama has said they're watching the Paul Feinbrun show that they are trying to raise money to buy out Tony DeBoer.
My thing is, does Bama have, I mean, like you said, they're trying to raise the money, but is that a wise decision?
You can't really listen to anything you hear.
Because if you're trying to raise money just to fire a coach, then you have to hire Lane Kiffin. You have to give him more incentive to leave.
So it's different.
Lane Kiffin wants to reigns at Alabama. I don't think you'd have to. You don't have to pay him too much.
So the person that should have took the job when it was available was Dabo Sweeney. He should have jumped on it when it came.
He has his own program, his own ideals going on at Clemson. Obviously, you see it crashed and burned. The whole not wanting to use the transfer portal thing has blown up and backfired in his face. But
that's his program. I see it similar to like Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. He might not be there for long. Or Kyle Whittingham in Utah. I feel like Dabo has reached a point where you have to have multiple seasons of just disasters for him to get gone, because that's his program.
Dabo's whole issue is he's still living in the past.
But he has no signs of wanting to change
at all.
And if I was Dabo, if I could get away with lackluster seasons and still get paid how I'm getting paid at Clemson, I would stay too.
But how you think the University of Alabama would feel about Dabo Sweeney trying to come up here talking about some, I'm not too big of a fan of the transfer portal. I think this is the season that shows him that he can't play like that anymore. I think he's going to adjust now. He has to, or he's just going to sit there and win no games.
But it was also predicated before this season, the year they lost to Duke. Like, you needed to hit the transfer portal. Like, Clemson has been a shell of itself since Trevor Lawrence.
Even then, they still have some competition. They at least win the ACC. The ACC hasn't been good. It hasn't been good, but you don't see a program like Miami doing that.
But Miami has turned a corner, though. Miami has been shown for the past recent years that they have turned a corner. Then you got Florida State emerging. We forgot how bad Clemson has been playing, because Florida State has been playing really good and really bad. So Clemson had a down season last year and still won the ACC.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're going to get that chance again this year? No. They already lost two ACC games already.
Yeah.
They're out of contention. And they still got to play against Florida State and Miami.
But I want to switch gears back to the original.
Let me answer the original question. I think it's going to be the battle of trench play, if you ask me.
Yep.
I think if LSU can show they can run the ball and be dominant, I feel like this is their game to win.
We haven't showed that all season.
Which is the biggest problem. I think they don't come out and show it and be consistent in the running game, I think Ole Miss really might have a chance, especially if Austin Simmons is able to come back.
Yeah.
I don't think that they need Austin Simmons to come back.
No.
Going crazy.
Nah, you need to come,
happening.
You're gonna need a complete game.
I would say one thing that a lot of people underestimate is how really good this LSU defense has really been this
right.
year.
Huge. I think another thing that people have been overlooking is how unimpressive the LSU offense has been.
Yes. That's true, but Southeast Louisiana,
Florida State versus Texas.
What I'm saying is those type of games is what boosts your offensive confidence.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it's those are the type of games that you need full offensive morality. Like, for okay, sure. we got this. Who has Ole Miss played?
Yeah, they played Arkansas.
They played Tulane, who's been a formidable opponent. They almost made the playoffs last year.
And they beat Arkansas the week before.
Arkansas looks bad. They just lost to Memphis.
But Ole Miss did give up 35 to Arkansas. So
right.
If this is the game for LSU to turn it around, I mean, then we might be looking at a shootout.
Yeah, a shootout. LSU can't do a shootout this year. That offense is not what we've
got. The talent is there for LSU.
We just haven't seen it. It's not clicking, but it's there.
It's there.
I'm not confident.
Their best win so far this year is against Tulane,
and they beat the brakes off Tulane.
But they struggled against Kentucky, who's by far one of the worst teams in the SEC. Then they struggled against Arkansas, who's also one of the worst teams.
They had a lot of turnovers.
But this is for both teams. This is gonna be a true test against see how good their offense is versus how good their defense is.
Is this a coming out party, basically?
What for who?
For both sides. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be coming up.
You know, sometimes you need that conference game or that non-conference game to challenge and see where exactly you are when it comes to football. Because you've been playing against JV squads for the past couple of weeks, and then you played against one varsity squad that you thought was supposed to be good, but they wasn't that good. And now it's like, okay, bet. Now I'm playing against a top-tier opponent. I'm supposed to be a top-tier team as well. Let's see how I line up against this team. And that's how both sides is looking at it.
Yeah. Ole Miss is allowing 190 rushing yards per game. So, like, if LSU can get that ball going, and like Q said, there is talent over there to do so, I think they can do it. But the spread is crazy. Like, on ESPN, Ole Miss 73% favorites, which is
I was kind of confused about that.
Yeah, it was a little wild.
I was like, wow. And now the spread went up to 2.5.
Yep. Wow.
Just a fun fact for y'all. LSU, in the first four games last year, allowed 13 touchdowns. In the first four games, this year is only allowed a touchdown a game.
And like I said, the defense is stellar, but the offense is what scares me. You put up 17 points in week one against Clemson in a game that we thought, you know, was just okay. You know, it's going to be a low-scoring game between powerful teams, but it turns out we find out Clemson's not really all that. The next week you only score 23 points against Louisiana Tech, and then obviously you struggle to put up 20 points in a game where your defense gets 5 interceptions against Florida.
That's a really good defense.
It is a really good defense, but if you yourself get 5 takeaways, you think that you're going to put up more than 20 points.
Especially when you're on your own side of your 50.
But a lot of the takeaways kept coming inside of LSU territory, though. It wasn't like the turnovers were outside, y'all weren't getting the ball back in the red zone.
I understand that, but at the same time, you get that many opportunities to score with the ball, and we only put up 20 points in it. I don't know. And then obviously
we only put on 13 points.
Right.
And then it was a pick six.
Right. And then you got the Southeast Louisiana game, which I personally don't
count that as well either. Like, I don't count wins like that as well. But it's like you gotta look at it for what it is. But it's like, if we talking about anything else, you can look at schools like Penn State and Oregon.
Penn State is not. I'll let you finish your topic, but look, it's like you can't, as long as, I don't care how, like I said, it's not about how you win, it's did you win.
Like if we go 16-0 and all our games been questionable, like, oh, our offense has been questionable, but we win a national championship with a questionable offense, I am perfectly fine with that because we've done it before.
Alright, well, Q brought up a good point. We're gonna segue out of the South and up North. Oregon takes on Penn State for a top 10 matchup.
You like how I turned that into that?
Yeah, that was pretty smooth.
Good job, country.
Yeah, I'm playing.
But for you.
Oregon takes on Penn State this week. It's a Big Ten rematch from championship season last year. Both teams have looked extremely competitive. I want to know, do you guys think, one, is Penn State a real contender this year? And two, what do they have to do to get it done against Oregon, who they haven't been able to beat the last two seasons?
I'll say this. Drew Allen is exactly who we thought he was. He's nothing better than everybody. It's like everybody keeps saying like it's a potential for him to be the greatest quarterback, and he's just been the same average quarterback that he has been.
I saw someone make a direct comparison to Trace McSorley the other day, and that was a crazy pull.
But Trace was actually good though.
That's what I'm saying. But like he was good, but he never had what it took to take like the next step.
But it's like Drew Allen is the quarterback that you like, bro. He has that next step. I know he has that next step, and you looking at it like, nah, he doesn't have that next step.
So what is the next step? Like what does it take for them to
get over the proverbial giant? He's still making the same bad reads he was making last year.
I agree.
He's still not seeing the field as he was supposed to be.
He's extremely late across the middle.
Okay, let's stop with the negative. Let's say something positive.
You gotta point it out.
Their wide receiver room is way better than it was last year.
So that's my thing. Yeah. You have a receiving core that it's just the same way I feel about Kay Klubnik. Like this is the best receiver core that you've ever had, and you have your strength.
I think that's every came out of Penn State. I think that's probably the best in a good minute.
Let's be very real. Penn State, really, we can't even say much about Penn State because they've played teams that are just so, like, you can't judge anything, bro. We played Nevada, FIU, and Villanova. Didn't even know Villanova had a football team.
Wait. Christian Benford now. Not too much on Christian Benford.
Point is, like, this is where we find out what Penn State is about. You know, like, because they, you know, on paper, everything looks good. So we have to find out, and I have a feeling Oregon's about to, you know, show us what we think we know, that like Drew Aller isn't the guy to take you to the promised land.
So has Dante Moore answered the question?
Yes.
Hold on. Has Dante Moore answered the question when you played against Montana State?
No, but these are Oklahoma State. These are power opponents.
Northwestern.
There's no way you just said Oklahoma State and power.
I mean power conference.
Okay, it's
better than FIU, Villanova, and Nevada.
Yeah, exactly. Even though
it definitely is.
Even if it is Oklahoma State, Northwestern, Oregon State. That's better than the three teams that Wes just mentioned.
So y'all are sold on what y'all seen so far from Dante Moore.
I think this is the game where we find out for sure. This is the game. I don't know why it took so long. These schedules needs to be fixed, kind of. Like, you can't just have them back to back to back. That's kind of wild. We're in week four and you're playing your first decent school.
But in Oregon's defense, though, you know, these games are scheduled years in advance. So they probably scheduled this game against Oklahoma State.
And also, Oregon's not as bad because they actually play some Big Ten opponents like Northwestern.
Northwestern, they're known for journalism.
But like,
what do we do?
At least it's a conference game. Like, what can you do about it?
What do you know about Northwestern other than journalism program? Do you know where they're at?
They're Chicago. In a state with mountains.
Stop helping people.
Bro, did you say a state with mountains as he said Chicago?
So my point is, Austin, they're known for journalism.
Bro, you might have some help on this podcast, bro. That might be a punishable offense.
I'll say this though, with Oregon's situation. It's like, that's how they schedule their season every year. Like, it helps them.
And so Penn State can say the same thing.
Penn State can say the same thing. This is awful for Penn State, bro.
Like, this is like a ridiculous schedule.
Again, I'm gonna go back to, these are different opponents. Even Montana State. Montana State is in the top five of the FCS every single year. Even they're still FCS, but it's not a horrible opponent. So I feel like Oregon.
Nah, it's a horrible. It's a horrible.
I feel like they both just haven't played anybody. Like, we're just gonna find out.
Top 10 for both of them being in the top 10 after playing what they played is a little wild, especially because they bumped FSU down again to the Oklahoma into the top. Like, bump these dudes down. They haven't played anybody. Let's be real. They haven't played anybody. Let's be so real. We got bumped down to eight, but these guys beat Villanova, FIU, and Nevada.
No.
You got it set up for ratings. I think College Game Day is there, isn't it?
No, but NBC's there.
College Game Day, I think,
is
ahead.
No, it's in Athens.
That's a wrap up on this week's college football segment. We're going to go into some quick picks, but make sure you tune into the Playmakers 12:30 to 2 p.m. on Saturday to get your daily fix of college football before you see them on live. Jeff, if you will, please let the people know the stipulations for this week's Adobe Audition Ambassador project.
So the stipulation for this week, typically we always do NFL, but this week of college football, it was too good to pass up on this. So fellas, this week is college football. You know, if you have a bad record, you're going to edit.
We're looking at some of people in this studio because some of your college football records are atrocious.
Yeah, so let's start off. I'm 10-7, Mike 7-9, Q's 9-8, Country's 9-7, Wes, you're 12-5.
Yes, sir.
Jalen's 9-8, Jason, you're 6-4, and Deanne is 6-2.
Yeah, it's really just Mike. Shout out Mike. He's not here, but Mike.
So, fellas,
please lock in.
These game picks I'm about to say out to you guys will determine your fate on Adobe Audition.
bet.
First game, Friday night, ranked 24 TCU versus Arizona State. Who are we taking?
Tough one for me.
I'm going TCU.
I'm going to take TCU as well.
Arizona State.
I'll go TCU.
I'll go Arizona State.
So me, Q, and Jalen, Arizona State. Austin, you ain't say nothing, yeah.
I'll also go Arizona State.
Great choice.
Okay, everybody else is TCU that I got. Great. Now, next matchup is 21-ranked USC versus 23-ranked Illinois.
I don't know how
Illinois looked god awful last week.
USC.
USC, bro.
I hate Illinois. Bro. Give me USC.
So everybody's USC.
I'm honestly shocked Illinois is still ranked.
I don't know how they are.
Actually, nah. It's Illinois' homecoming. Give me Illinois.
Homecoming? I was about to say we were going to lose our homecoming. We play Alcorn, though. I hope we don't lose that.
I don't know. Alcorn looked pretty good. I was sweat.
Alcorn?
Yeah.
Give me USC.
USC.
Next game. 22-ranked Notre Dame versus Arkansas. Who are we taking?
Notre Dame. Easy. Jacob.
Notre Dame.
Easy. Everybody saying it's easy.
Notre Dame.
It's not easy. It's not going to be easy.
Next game, Duke versus Syracuse. So easy.
This a basketball
match? Why are we
doing this? Didn't what's his face tear his Achilles or something? Their starting quarterback?
Well, for
yes, he did.
For Cuse?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean this. Right, Coach K versus Jim Boeheim?
Who are we taking?
I'm going to still take Syracuse.
Yeah, they have a way better receiving core. So I'm going to go.
Country, West, Syracuse. Who else?
Me. Syracuse.
Jalen, yeah. JB.
Yeah.
Syracuse.
Q.
Syracuse.
Austin.
Syracuse.
So everybody is
crazy
Syracuse.
Game, though.
Before ranked LSU versus number 13 ranked Ole Miss.
LSU.
We just talked about this.
LSU.
Give me Ole Miss.
Nah, I didn't know if you had anything you
wanted
to
ask. I know that ask Country. I know his answer.
Yeah,
Austin, JB.
LSU.
Ole Miss.
Give me Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Unfortunately,
interesting. Austin, who are you taking?
I'm going to take the Tigers. I got LSU. I think it's going to be close.
Go Tigers.
It will be
so
close.
Everybody.
Go Tigers.
But Jalen and Q, correct?
Correct.
Actually.
No, it's locked.
I'm definitely standing on it.
You feel good about picking with Q?
That was my point.
Yeah.
Next game, Auburn versus number 9 ranked Texas A&M.
Texas A&M.
Give me Aggies.
Texas A&M.
Where's it at?
It's in College Station.
I got Texas A&M.
Country?
Texas A&M.
Great. Number 15 ranked Tennessee versus Mississippi State. This is a low-key
sleeper
game. Mississippi State been hooping.
I'm not going to lie.
Dude, Aguilar entered.
I promise you, Q, you will be on your own with this one. if Mississippi State win, I'll bring my cowbell on the next.
Please do.
So he's going with Mississippi State.
I'm going with Mississippi State.
Man, you just pick with him.
Tennessee.
You said what?
Mississippi State versus who?
Tennessee.
I got Tennessee.
Joey Aguilar enters the Heisman conversation.
Y'all don't know about Stark Vegas.
He's definitely Crooked Letter Place.
I don't know about Stark Vegas.
Crooked Letter Place.
Stark Vegas hasn't been relevant.
Crooked Letter
since.
Audition.
It's relevant now. They just beat Arizona State too.
So you believe?
I believe.
All right. You gonna believe in this audition too? Number 6 ranked Oregon. We just spoke about versus Penn State. Number 3. Who we taking?
Oregon.
I hate Penn State.
Everybody's Oregon. So Q's Oregon.
I'm gonna go Oregon.
Jalen.
I'm gonna go Penn State.
I'm about to say, I can't be alone. Country, me and Country. Who else? Nobody's joined the Penn State?
I'll take Oregon as well.
Nobody's joined the Penn State?
Nah, man.
I'm in Oregon.
All right, cool. Now,
since you were so pressed to talk about it,
University of Alabama goes into Athens. I don't want to put the numbers on it. University of Alabama goes into Athens. Who are we taking?
Oh!
Mind you, you're editing
Tyro.
This.
Go Dogs.
Roll Tide, y'all.
Y'all know I'm with the For Dogs.
I'm going to go with Kirby Smart.
I feel like this is going to be like
Kirby Smart. Dogs.
So I have UJ, myself, Wes, JB, Country. Who else am I missing?
Roll Tide.
No, I get UGA.
Okay, so I'm not missing nobody. Everybody else is...
So it's just me and Q?
Yep.
Hey, man, I feel good about that.
I feel great about that. Next game, last two games, fellas. Kentucky versus South Carolina. Who are we taking?
Lenora Sellers bounced back.
South Carolina?
South Carolina.
You said Lenora's is back?
Carolina. I don't know.
South Carolina.
Hot take. I don't think Stoops makes it out this season.
Probably not.
So I'm gonna go.
They have a lot of hype going into the season.
Stoops.
Disappointing.
Stoops suck at recruiting.
Well, who? I mean, it's Kentucky though.
But it's like
Kentucky football.
No, they got a pretty good market for
they,
SEC.
They definitely got a good market.
Blue compared grass. to the other schools.
So compared to what? Mississippi State? Yeah.
No, I mean compared to Georgia and Alabama, LSU. I mean, you got.
I mean, nobody competes with them on the regular. Yeah, I'm talking about to mid to low tier SEC schools.
Those are the teams you got to compete with.
Even, I know, but I'm,
even low to mid tier. I know Vanderbilt is Vanderbilt, but that's. That's
they out recruit Vanderbilt.
Nashville though.
I say
Nashville like versus Lexington, Kentucky.
Everybody keep putting LSU in the recruiting conversations. We are actually we're not top five in the SEC. Just to let you know.
But Louisiana is a great state for talent in general.
Of course.
So
yeah, that's
y'all
why
can
that's
just
why
go, y'all can go homegrown and get a great team.
Last game, number 25 ranked BYU versus Colorado.
As much as I would love to roll with Coach Prime.
You going BYU?
BYU is too physical. They too physical for him.
I'm gonna go with Coach Prime.
You know, Country, you always good for going with Coach Prime. I kind of figured that.
Yeah.
Austin, who we taking?
I'm gonna go BYU as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna go BYU. I don't think that
they Coach got Salters Prime, back starting, right?
Yep,
they do. Yeah. But I don't know if Coach Prime has the toughness of this team to get past BYU. BYU is a smash mouth team.
Great, fellas. Yeah. So I have everybody locked in.
Yes.
You know, if you lose, have the worst record, you will be doing audition.
Hey,
now,
do you remember how?
Now, you said the what? Only thing is.
Nothing.
now, the only thing is, if there is a tie, I'm going off winning percentage. So I'm going to add everybody's wins and then see who has the best winning percentage. If there's a tie, if.
Damn, I wish Mike was here.
Oh, no, we're gonna tell Mike, and I'm going to let Mike know. I'm going to let Deant know, too, as well. So,
all right, that's all for our college football. Please stay tuned to the page to find out our results on our Adobe audition. Tune into the Playmakers always. Moving on to some NFL, we're going to recap the Rams and the Eagles game. Now, right now, the NFC, we kind of discussed last episode, is kind of wide open right now. We kind of saw that with the finish to the Rams and Eagles game. Fellas, special teams was a big thing,
man.
This past Sunday.
There was so many block kicks. Shout out to the Browns.
Block party.
You know who the Eagles are reminding me of? They reminded me of the 2024 Chiefs.
Yep.
What is going on?
Black Magic.
What is going on? They played terrible against the Cowboys, got the dub. They played terrible against the Chiefs, got the dub.
Cowboys also on our.
They played terrible against the Rams, came back, kind of played terrible again, and then blocked a kick. I think it's Black Magic, bro. There's been lots of Black Magic in the league going on.
Wes is heavy on the Black Magic.
Listen, somebody is doing a seance somewhere and it's bothering me.
No, but I feel like
they should have lost this game. I'll give them the Chiefs game, I'll give them the Cowboys game. This should have been an L, and I picked the Rams in this game because I was feeling the upset.
I'll say one thing about the Eagles, though. At least the Eagles are playing well to get back into these games. The Chiefs won off of crazy.
Did they really play well?
Second half.
MVP caliber winner.
The
Eagles turn up and make plays the plays when it counts.
Listen, you want to know how you know the Eagles will win a game? Jalen Hurts completes a 15-yard fade to A.J. Brown. You know how you know the Eagles won a game? Some dude gets left wide open on a post round. That's like a third option. It's usually the tight end or Jahan Dotson.
It's better than
ends up wide open.
It's better than double doinks and all the stuff the Chiefs.
Hey, bro, they blocked a kick that was like 40 yards. Like, I Black Magic is back.
A 330-pound man ran all the way. Bro.
Burned everybody, too. Wasn't close.
It was calculated he ran 18 miles per hour. He was moving.
That is terrifying.
Are you telling me that's not Magic?
Nah, he did run a 4.7 at the combine, though. Y'all do remember that.
Outside the seances and Black Magic, what's up with the Eagles this season? And, I mean, they get it done.
Oh, I will tell you what's wrong with the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is not a great quarterback, is what's wrong with the Eagles.
Whoa.
But second half, though.
I'm ready to talk about it. What does he do in an elite way?
He
get pushed by 400.
Games.
That is not a quarterback stat. We talked about that.
Did you see the drive
that
they came
on
the third quarter?
That is not a quarterback stat.
Did you see the drive when they came on the third quarter?
I just told you about the post route, bro.
Efficient.
I just told you about the wide open post route. He split a quarter's coverage. I get it, but he was wide open.
Okay. I think my argument for Jalen Hurts is that in his defense, he doesn't give his team a reason to lose the game.
Ever.
Not in the sense that he's a facilitator, but in the fact that you're never going to count on a turnover.
No,
he
on top of that, on top he of is. That, when is a play to be made? It's Jalen Hurts behind that play.
No, it's not.
So how does AJ Brown get the ball?
They press him and he beats press coverage every time.
So you're telling me you're throwing the ball?
Huh?
You're throwing the ball and he's still getting it for a 60-yard touchdown?
No.
It's never a 60-yard touchdown.
It'll probably
It's a 15-yard fade route. It's a 15-yard fade route. We got high school quarterbacks who can throw that. We have to judge people off NFL skills.
So
I understand Jalen Hurts can throw a fade route, but so can high school players. I'm not saying
ball
he's not a decent quarterback, but we're going to sit here and talk about how he's the reason they're winning games? Absolutely not.
All right, what's this? It sounds like you have some statistical evidence behind this. So
yeah, let me hear it.
Give me the rundown on why Jalen Hurts isn't.
What is he? He actually, I love this. I love that you asked me that. He has the most time to throw and the least depth of target. You want to know why? He has the best O-line and the best receivers, but he doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to make a good play. He can throw the ball 6 yards to A.J. Brown to throw a touchdown. A.J. Brown ran 6 yards into the end zone, turned around, and because he's 6'4", 240, running a 4'4", he just caught the ball. Like, he's just bigger than DBs. Jalen Hurts does not have to do much to win football games. Jalen Hurts can throw for 140 yards, 7 for 10. It doesn't matter how many times he throws the ball. He's going to win the football game because he has one of the best defenses in the league. He has the best O-line in the league. He has the best running back in the league. West. He has the best receiver core in the league. West. What does he need to do?
West.
What does he need to do to win a football game?
West, you
Jalen
like
Hurts completes 7 passes and win a football game.
West, you
Jalen
like
Hurts gets pushed.
Hey, I ain't going to lie. We need some like buttons and some horns. Like, boom, boom.
West, hey, bro, cut this like up me. And make an edit. I want it like somebody West, to help me and be the lead.
You sound like me last year. Like, I was the most anti Jalen Hurts, the most anti not.
I've been anti Jalen Hurts since he came to the league.
But
that's
you have to understand.
That's crazy.
That's
crazy. He was his first hater.
You have to understand, to a certain
Day
point.
One hater.
Jalen Hurts is a winner. You have to respect winning. When it comes to winning plays,
is not a quarterback stat. When we detract on quarterbacks, we tracked about winning, we say winning is not a quarterback stat.
That is
and
correct.
When we're trying to defend quarterbacks, we cannot make winning a quarterback stat. That's we cannot backtrack.
That's correct. So I want to speak about a team win, a different team. Last week, who picked the Carolina Panthers?
How did we get here?
Yeah, how do we get to that?
I want to touch on this. Carolina Panthers 30-0 against the Atlanta Falcons.
Hey, man, we saw. Cool. That was
y'all call
disgusting.
Me crazy.
Well, it's because it was right after your Vikings pick.
Yeah. And your credibility was a little on that field there.
And you always have, like, the lowest pick score. So, like, not to hate on UQ, but I mean, that was very unexpected.
Personally, I love it. I love to see the two worst teams in our division just absolutely clobber up on each other. Atlanta, I don't know what Falcons team we just saw this Sunday.
That was disgusting. I have Drake London in fantasy, so I was crying. Watching that
30,
game, bro.
Did they score? Like 30-0?
30-0.
That's 30 so ball. Embarrassing, bro.
Michael Penix, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
He got benched. And got benched.
Yeah.
For Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins still on the team?
Yes.
Get paid like $40 million. I mean,
Bijan got his stats in, though.
So with that being said, what does the landscape of the NFC look like? If you got a team like the Eagles struggling, you got a team who could be underrated like the Falcons getting
even
blown out to the Panthers.
Even
you
the
even
Packers
have the Packers
losing to the Browns. The Cleveland Browns.
You didn't pick them.
What you mean by that?
You didn't pick them.
The Cleveland Browns?
The Cleveland Browns yes, have Cleveland the best Browns. Defense in the league.
You, you didn't pick them. But you didn't pick them.
I don't want to edit. Like, I just don't want to edit, bro. I'm sorry.
But to that point, what does the NFC landscape look like right now? Is it up for grabs or are the Eagles?
I mean, no, I think I'll tell you what it looks like. The black magic on the Eagles is going to carry over to
respect stop. Winning. Like, I was just like you last year, but, you know, I matured and realized that, like, Jalen Hurts is a winner. He's a good quarterback. He's a top 10 quarterback in my eyes. If you
hey man,
if you think differently, name 10 quarterbacks better than Jalen
Hurts. You don't think he's top 10? You don't think he's top 10?
Name.
Wait,
because there's no way you believe that.
I got
name.
10 quarterbacks over him. I got Lamar.
Okay.
I got Josh. I got Patty. I got JT.
Justin
I got,
Herbert.
Yeah, absolutely. I got Baker. I got Baker over him.
I love that pick.
I love Baker over him. Easily over Jalen Hurts. That's easy.
Five. You just named five.
Joe Burrow. I absolutely can't count that.
Now you're stuck.
Let me keep going. Jaden Daniels.
Seven.
I got Jaden Daniels over him. Who else I got? Listen, you were 49ers, man. I'm tempted to say Brock Purdy. I'm really tempted to say Brock Purdy.
I'm listening.
I'm really tempted.
No, he's at seven.
That was eight.
So you counting Brock. Okay, eight.
Okay, who else I got?
Did you say Jordan Love? Jordan Love?
I'll take Jordan Love. I'll absolutely take Jordan Love. Go ahead.
All right, I'm leaving the podcast. There's no way.
I'll absolutely take Jordan Love.
And this is where it starts to get a little crazy. I don't know about Jordan Love.
Respectfully,
just because he doesn't squat 600 pounds, he's not as good as Jalen Hurts.
Time out. Respectfully, I love Brock Purdy, but Brock Purdy is like 11-12. I've always been a guy.
I was gonna let it rock just out of the sense that he likes Brock Purdy. I want to see what he's gonna say.
I always say he's 11-12. He's not top 10.
Nah, bro.
Jordan Love is for sure not top 10.
And if you put any of those quarterbacks on the Eagles, it's a better team.
Jordan Love is folding.
Why?
Jordan Love is folding
with 4 seconds to throw the ball.
Jordan Love
is folding.
When was the
last time you shot someone with 4 seconds to throw the ball?
If Jordan Love's in the Super Bowl last year,
this is like a 30 for 30, bro. Drew Brees got the ball out in 2 seconds. Bro, who gets four and a half seconds to throw the ball? Jalen Hurts.
So Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts get four and a half seconds to throw the ball.
So Jordan Love, we see what happens when people don't get.
So Wes, you trying to talk about me? Because you know my question, Wes. Is Jordan Love carrying this team, the Eagles, from the comeback win yesterday? Is that
absolutely
possible?
He absolutely could.
He just lost to the Browns.
Because he didn't have any time to throw the ball, and he has to throw the bat like wide receiver threes. All his receivers are injured. If he had AJ Brown and Devontae Smith to throw the ball to, I bet he'd be better.
Jordan Love in the top 10 is
insane. If he had 4.5 seconds to throw the ball.
You might as well say Geno Smith in the top 10.
Hey, bro, I'm on the Eagles. You don't even have to double team Miles Garrett.
He just threw like 3 picks.
You're chilling.
You might as well throw in Drake May. Jordan Love is not top 10. Bo Nix, he's not top 10.
You're trying to discredit me now.
Daniel Jones.
You did not give legit picks.
Daniel Jones, this season is better than Jalen Hurts. Let's talk about it. This season? What do we mean?
Oh my.
He won a whole game without punting twice. His first punt was last week.
This is very true.
Have fun editing.
I'm not gonna go there.
Did you just say Daniel Jones in the top 10?
This year?
And you would take Daniel Jones over Jalen Hurts?
This year.
Are you serious?
This year.
I don't have camera stories.
Are you serious?
Mind you, both of them are standing up.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No. Are you serious right now?
Yeah, I'm so serious. He didn't punt till week three.
Who did he play? Outside of Broncos, who did he play?
Bro,
The Titans? Man, you can play against the Titans.
Bro, the Eagles, we're down 3 scores against the Rams. What are we doing?
And the Rams aren't good? The Rams are elite, and you know that.
It's not the same thing.
Sean McVay's a top 3 offensive play caller in the NFL.
Over Jalen Hurts. What does Jalen Hurts do that's elite?
Win.
That's not a stat.
Win.
That is not a
he
stat.
He wins. In the big time moments, he shows up.
The only thing he does elite is hold the ball.
When Daniel Jones in the playoffs, what did Daniel Jones do against the Vikings? What did he do? What did he do? You know what he did.
Check now.
You know what he did.
Bro, what is Jalen Hurts doing? He finishes every game with 180 yards passing. He does nothing.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I wouldn't have given him the MVP. I wouldn't have.
Why?
I wouldn't have.
Why?
Cooper DeJean caught a pick six. Other people strip sacked Mahomes. What did he do? He threw a wide open post. He threw the fade to AJ Brown. That's what I said when he wins game. He throws the fade to AJ Brown. He throws the post.
He fade to AJ Brown.
So Daniel Jones is winning the Super Bowl.
He threw the fade, didn't he? That happened.
So Daniel Jones is winning the Super Bowl. If he was on this roster
now. The Eagles?
Yes.
10 quarterbacks are winning a Super Bowl on the Eagles.
I said Daniel Jones.
Yes.
Whoa.
All right, fellas. We gotta get on this topic. The Eagles is the most stacked team
in the league. Shout out Howie Roseman, bro. I don't know. Jalen Hurts is not elite at anything. He's an elite weightlifter.
We gotta get out of this.
He's an elite squatter.
Sit down.
We gotta get out of this.
He's an elite model. I don't know what to tell you.
You know, Wes, at certain point in my life, I thought you knew ball, but after this.
I do know ball. Watch my picks. Who got the highest picks? Read my stats, Jeff. I know ball.
I'm reading your top 10 quarterbacks. That's terrible.
Read those college football stats. Read them. Who's the highest? Me, because I know ball.
Caleb Williams' performance.
Can we talk about the Browns?
We can talk about Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams looked great.
It really wasn't much of a performance. It was more so.
Oh, here go the Cowboys,
man.
Matt Eberflus, bro. Matt Eberflus.
Get him out of there. You saw the flea flicker.
Get him out of there.
You saw the flea flicker.
It was by far the worst defensive performance I've ever seen. Caleb Williams did not even get touched the entire game.
Was chilling.
Like, he was just chilling back there, doing his assignments, painting his nails the different color. Like, he was just back there just chilling.
He was back there That's painting crazy. His nails different colors.
Bro, like, I was just like, bro, we couldn't get a pat. You know what's so crazy about Matt Eberflus' defense? I just want y'all to hear how dumb Jerry Jones is, right? You hire Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus is known for not rushing the passer, not blitzing, just stay back and prevent deep passes. That's not bad. But then you need a pass rusher in Mike Eberflus' defense. So what do? You get rid of DeMarcus Lawrence and you get rid of Michael Parsons. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
All right, great sob story. Let's get into these game picks, man.
Yeah. I don't even want to talk about
great sob story.
Hey, well, that's called a coaching masterclass, is what we just saw.
No, that's called an owner needs to.
I mean,
yeah, moving on to the game picks.
the game picks.
We can.
So,
what?
Today is Monday, so I just want to make sure I have everybody's picks right. The only person that's picking Detroit is JB, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Moving along now into week four of the NFL season. Fellas, Thursday Night Football. Seattle at Arizona.
Who K-1. Taking?
It's a good game.
I don't know why you believe that, but okay, K-1.
Q. I'm taking Seattle.
Give me the Cardinals.
Give me the Seahawks.
Give me Cards.
Give me the Seahawks.
They just played y'all this week, right?
Cardinals? Yeah, but they lost.
I can be a little more loose with these now they're doing college football. So, yeah, give me the Cards.
that's real. That's Seahawks.
Right.
Seahawks.
I'm
going to
let it fly.
Oh, Seahawks, yeah.
Seahawks, JB. Who else?
Shout out Calais Campbell for balling, but nah, Seahawks.
At like 40. How old is
he? I like the Seahawks, too. Austin?
I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
Cardinals. All right, great. Next game, Minnesota at Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Who we taking?
At 9:30 in the morning.
Minnesota.
Mind you, yeah.
I'm taking the Vikings.
Cold like Minnesota.
Yeah, Vikings.
You picking Carson Wentz? Vikings?
Who said Vikings?
Vikings.
I'm saying the Steelers.
Vikings defense is crazy, bro. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm riding. And Jordan Addison's coming back from suspension? I'm going with the Vikings. Jordan Addison's coming back from his suspension.
Oh, yes, this week?
Mm-hmm. Coming back from suspension.
Bad. I got him in fantasy.
West, okay. Oh, yeah. Country, who we taking?
I'm going with, it's a neutral site game, too.
Yeah.
In London.
No, it's in Dublin.
Oh. In Dublin.
Ooh, excuse me. Dublin.
Ireland.
There is a big difference. Thing, I don't want to get nobody.
The Irish are going to go with the Vikings. Yeah, I got the Vikings.
That's not historically correct. No, not at all.
You might be up there with the mountain comet.
Northwestern.
I don't know where Northwestern is. I don't feel like that's crazy.
Think about the Irish. They're the Celtics.
All right, come on. Next pick.
Next game. Commanders at Atlanta.
Commanders, bro. Atlanta. I had hope for Atlanta, and they just.
Y'all know what's crazy? Watch to be the game that the Falcons win. But I'm still going Commanders, though. Like, you know, no. Since this is college football, I'm going to be fluid. I'm going with the Falcons.
Give me the Falcons. Give me the Falcons.
Because I just feel though, like they just going to do some weird shit.
Everybody's just so loose with their picks now since they know it's college football. Okay.
It'll make for a good game.
I don't like how confident y'all are, but okay.
Give me the Commanders.
Commanders?
Yeah.
Jalen?
I said Commanders.
All right, great. Next game, Saints versus the Bills.
Bills? What?
Bills might win by 200.
Give me the Saints. No. I mean, you know why.
I think everybody's Bills correct.
Yeah. But they're going to stat pad Josh Allen.
This spread is 16.5, by the way.
Oh, my God.
That's not enough.
We're not covering. I'm just going to tell you that. We're not covering.
You know what? Let's do that. But let's do that.
No.
Let's do that.
Over and under.
No.
Spread is 16.5.
Spread is 16.5 over and
over. I'm looking at 15.5.
It might 15.5. I think
it is 15.
Depends on the book. Yeah, it depends. But either way, I don't see Buffalo covering.
Next game, Browns at
Cleveland.
The Lions. JB. Let's start the Browns fan.
We have the best defense in the league, bro. I think we're gonna generate that pressure.
All right, so JB, got you. Go ahead. Everybody else, we Detroit, right?
Go ahead.
Even though Jared Goff is terrible under pressure, but
yeah, just pick the Browns.
Nah,
I'm with the Browns.
I got.
Thank you, Torin.
Yeah, I'm with the Browns.
You serious?
I'm so serious.
Why?
Browns got the best defense in the league. There you go.
I believe what he just said.
There you go.
They need to start a rookie at quarterback, though.
They need to start
Joe Flacco is so old. Like, when you watch him play, he cannot move more than whatever.
There's no point in playing Joe. I don't get why. It's not like y'all going to win more games with Joe.
Because
they don't want to start Shadur.
Next game.
Start Dylan.
Panthers at the Patriots.
Give me the Panthers.
New
England.
You know what? It's not college football. I'll take the Panthers.
Why are we acting like? Never mind.
I'll take my boy B9 too. I got the Panthers.
I am picking the Pats, but let's not disrespect the Panthers.
This week don't matter.
I said Pats.
Okay.
I'm taking the Panthers.
Yeah, Patriots.
I don't care.
Chargers at the Giants. Who we taking?
Chargers.
Although I like Scatterboo, but Chargers.
Hey, Jalen,
Scatterboo looks great.
Scatterboo ain't enough. Man,
Scatterboo.
I'm talking, bro. Just say Chargers. Like, don't try to downplay.
Scatterboo went balling.
And what's that going to do for them? Went to a different team.
Nothing. They do need to sell
went
a team.
To the Niners. Shout out to us. Anyways, Eagles at the Bucks.
Game of the week.
Come on.
I got the Bucks.
Come on now, y'all. And we getting our linemen back.
I'm betting against the Eagles.
West that thinks Jalen Hurts not top 10.
It's a good game. I could go either way on it. I like the Bucks, so I'll take the Bucks. I kind of think the Eagles are going to win, though.
I agree.
And why is that?
Because they have the best roster in the league.
They had the best roster in the league, arguably, for the last 2 to 3 seasons.
Yeah, bro.
JB, who are you taking?
Nothing to do with Jalen Hurts.
Baker Mayfield.
Sterling Shepard game-winning touchdown.
I like that.
Hey, Q, I'm going to find you if that happens.
Austin,
I'm taking that creamsicle hat off you.
Oh.
I got the Eagles.
No, it's too valuable.
Austin, you got?
I got the Eagles.
Okay, so it's me, Austin. Okay, great. Titans versus the Texans. Who are we taking?
Titans.
Oh, brother.
Tennessee.
Houston.
Cam Ward.
Man, he don't believe that. Oh, my gosh. Wes, what'd you say?
I'll take the Titans.
Who else taking the Titans?
I want to see the Titans. Give me the Houston Oilers.
Yeah, I'm going Houston.
That could be either of them.
No, that's the Tennessee Titans.
Okay, so
what?
Q just don't care.
I want to see the Texans win this
free
game.
Free CJ.
Though.
Is my turn? Country.
Free CJ.
Go, Austin. I already know the answer.
You got
Austin,
Houston.
Houston.
You know, I think the Titans are gonna win this game.
Great, Jalen.
I'll go with the Titans, honestly.
So everybody just don't care about this week because it's college football.
No, I want to see the Titans
Texans have looked terrible.
They both look terrible.
The Texans have looked
bad
terrible.
The last two seasons. Cam Ward has been balling. He has drops.
Cam Ward has some good plays, man. CJ Stroud doesn't have the time to have a good play.
Next game.
CJ got to be better, too.
Apparently, Dale Jones is top 10, so the Colts versus the Rams.
I don't know. The Colts been balling, bro.
I got the Rams.
I got the Rams, too. I don't think the Rams
are
those two.
The Colts are not that good. But I'll take Matthew Stafford over Jalen Hurts, too, and Jared Goff.
Week 4 is where.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not crazy.
Yeah, JB, who you got, JB?
The Rams.
So everybody's the Rams.
Yeah. Week 4 is where it gets serious.
Yeah.
They're not going to lose two in a row.
Did we all hear me say Dak Prescott too? I also take him over Jalen Hurts.
That's not that's cool.
That's not
cool.
A bad. That's
Andy,
not
a bad take.
Scratch that. Let me go Colts.
Everybody all right. But Jalen.
I got the Colts too.
I thought when you said it was final.
I was still between it. I ain't really.
Next game. Jags at the 49ers.
I'm gonna go Jags.
Country Jags. Who else is Jags?
Brock Purdy should be returning. So I'm gonna take the 49ers.
The 49ers did lose Nick Bosa.
There's no guarantee that he's getting that Purdy's gonna be back, right?
They said he was close to coming back this week.
He can come back this week or next week. It just depends how he feels.
I'll take him regardless, bro. Give me 49ers.
Jags.
JB. All right, great. Austin.
The 49ers.
Next game. Great game right here. Start off with Wes. Ravens at Chiefs Kingdom.
Shout out to Ravens, man.
Ravens.
I got Ravens. It's about time he beat Mahomes.
I got Ravens belt.
Okay. So everybody's Ravens.
Yeah, Ravens.
Austin?
Ravens.
All right, great. Bears at the Raiders. Who we taking?
Bears.
Raiders.
I got the Bears.
I think the Bears kind of found something that worked.
Yeah, I think the Bears.
But Cowboys defense is just...
No. I think that they outplayed them.
Gino, nah, Cowboys defense.
Gino will not right back.
Yeah, Gino has not looked at. I'm gonna go.
I still go Bears. Though.
So everybody but Q.
Great.
Sunday night revenge game right here. Packers at the Cowboys.
I got the Packers by 50.
Yep.
Packs by a lot.
Packers.
Everybody but Country. Correct.
Correct. I'm still gonna ride with my Cowboys.
I say yeah. You a real fan? I forgot. You know, you not JB.
Can we skip? You saw me pick the Browns this week? Why you want?
What about last week?
I don't.
I think Micah Parsons is going to have like a
10 sacks.
Yeah, he's going to have
a pick six.
Monday, doubleheader Monday night.
Can we skip Monday night, please?
Jets at the Dolphins.
What a
this
game.
Is an actual Monday night game.
Yes.
What? I got it.
And it's a doubleheader, too.
Yeah.
Who's starting on the Jets now that feels got a concussion?
Oh, he's hurt? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I like the Dolphins to pull this.
It's Tyrod Taylor. Shout out Tyrod Taylor.
I'll take the Jets.
I'll go Dolphins.
Where's the game at?
It's in Miami.
Give me Dolphins.
Wes.
I got the Jets.
Jets. Country.
I got the Jets.
Austin.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Jets.
Great. Last game. Doubleheader, like I said. Bengals at the Broncos.
Broncos.
Denver.
Jake Browning throws 8 picks.
So everybody's
Broncos.
Yeah. Great.
You good? All right, fellas. This has been a great episode, honestly. We have some great banter. But we're getting into our favorite part of the show, that is shout-outs. Does the host start off? Oh, man. This is nice to go first. I want to shout out the fam back home. Thank you all for listening. Friends, too, who tell me that, you know, JB and Mike are hilarious with their picks.
That's great.
Shout out to the guys, man. Keep it pushing. We have some great content coming out for you soon. Please stay tuned to the live show and the podcast.
All right, shout out to God, of course. Shout out to everybody on the Cleveland Browns defense. Nobody on the offense gets a shout out except for Judkins. Shout out to bro. Shout out to my homeboy that I just beat 180-80 in fantasy football.
Wow.
Oh,
appreciate that. Yeah.
Shout out to God. Shout out to my family. Shout out to the playmakers to the booth. Shout out to the Ravens. Shout out to Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Baker Mayfield, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff. and Dak Prescott.
I'm not gonna lie, Wes has got to get a compilation for this.
For being better.
I want to first and foremost thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shout out to the guys in the studio. Shout out Jalen Hurts for being a winner, for being a top 10 quarterback and winning when it matters most. Shout out to the 49ers for being 3-0. Prayers to my boy Nick Bosa, torn ACL, but got to finish the job for my guy. Yeah, let's be great, fellas.
Y'all boys in here shouting out grown men that don't know y'all. Anyway, shout out to Cam Ward. we gonna get you some help real soon, my guy. I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I feel blessed to be back in here with y'all. It's been a minute since I've been on the pod. I want to start coming on the pod more often. I got time. Always fun to be in here. Sorry I couldn't hear most of the show. Technical difficulties, but feel great to be back out here. Shout out to the fam at home. Shout out to everybody listening. Y'all tune in to the live show 12:30 to 2 p.m. on 90.5 The Flavor.
Shout out to my Lord and Savior. Shout out to my parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends. Shout out to the entire state of Mississippi with the exception of Madison County. And shout out to the Buffalo Bills, 3-0.
We don't ride with Madison County.
At all.
Man, shout out to everybody that's get to enjoy the NFL season.
Yes, this is a very enjoyable season.
It's so nice being 3-0.
Not for real.
And we had the Saints next. Come on, man.
It's cool.
It's nice getting a cake schedule, isn't it, Q?
Hey, look. Who do we beat first week of the season?
Can I do my shout-out? Hey,
man, that was lucky.
Yeah. Go ahead, country.
Shout out to us winning the state show. Shout out to everybody else. Everybody in the studio, man. Good to see y'all boys back, you know. And shout out to great college football right now.
This has been Halftime with the Playmakers. Please be sure to tune in weekly wherever you get your podcast and on the live show 12:30 to 2 p.m. We out. Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.